with out there in this world, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you're not careful, then you will start dropping things, laying stuff aside that was good and wholesome that you used to enjoy doing. You know, whenever you hear Christians saying, well, we used to do, that means they stopped doing it. We used to. We used to. I remember when. That means they ain't doing it no more. I used to go to church all the time, and now I just go every now and then. What done happened? Did Jesus change on you? Or did you change on him? Did you stop believing something you used to believe that was putting you here every time the doors open? Did you change what you believed? One time you thought that was beneficial for you. Now, I'm not condemning you, but I want you to see the truth, because this was a warning given to the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm sharing this with you so that you don't allow this to happen to you.
Amen.
Believers get seduced away from the truth. Well, you know, all that tithing, I heard somebody say it ain't for today. Well, you've been in the Word. You done seen the truth for yourself. You going to let somebody talk you out of it? All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that God is dealing with the Apostle Paul in the second letter to Timothy. First thing that he did in the scripture we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gave them the cause. He gave them the cause of why people will depart from the faith and what they'll start believing. In 2 Timothy, he gives them the effect of being seduced and believing doctrines of devils. Cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. All right, the cause is the devil deceiving people and people believing the lie, and the effect is found here in 2 Timothy. Listen, I'm going to read this here out of the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy. That in the last days, he's talking about the end of days again, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, the King James says perilous times. Other translations say distressing times, times of great stress and trouble, times that are hard to deal with. We're living in dangerous times. How many of you know it's dangerous? Out there in the world is dangerous. You need to be prayed up every day. You need to be led by the Spirit every day, because you don't ever know what you're going to count out there, because we're living in dangerous times.
Amen.
And the reason is because of the effect of people that have been deceived by the devil. Listen at this. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Now, I got to reading that, and I say, now, in this description of this is the actions of people. This is the effect of not being led by the Spirit. This is the effect of not believing the gospel. And then I start looking at those characteristics, and I say, most of them are demonic. All right, let me go through the list again. People will be selfish. All right, now that's fleshly. That's people, you know, people loving themselves. We live in this selfie generation. You know, I mean, everybody like to take pictures of themselves. I ain't getting on you because you take a lot of selfies. You know, don't think pastor picking me because I take selfies. I ain't picking nobody. I mean, that's the age we're living in. Amen. But, you know, you just can't fall in love with yourself. You're supposed to love God more than you love yourself. They will be boastful and proud, demonic. Scoffing at God, demonic. God is the one that loves you. He the one created you. Why would you want to scoff at him? Why would you want to ridicule him and make light of him and make jokes about him and have no respect and no honor for him, the one that created you? That sounds demonic to me. Listen to this here. Disobedient. That's a characteristic. Disobedient to parents, which means we're talking, taking another level. Disobedient to God. That sounds demonic to me. You're living in disobedience. What about this one right here? Ungrateful. That's demonic. For you not to have gratitude. That's demonic inspired. They will consider nothing sacred. That's the devil. He don't consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. That's demonic. To not love people when God said that's the command to love one another. Unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. Well, to slander others, to malign others, to speak falsely against people, that's demonic. They will be cruel and hate what's good. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying there'll come a time when people will call what's evil good and what's good evil. That's demonic, because that's perversion. They will betray their friends, be reckless, and be puffed up with pride, will love pleasures more than they love God. You see, you could see the influence of those deceiving spirits in these characteristics. And God doesn't want us to live that way. I'm sharing it with you this morning. Amen. The only protection we have from delusion, from the delusion that's present in our world, is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to teach us, yes, and to lead us and to guide us. And if you reject him, then you are laying your life wide open. You have absolutely no defense. I mean, that's a hopeless situation. If you just reject the grace of God, then there's nothing else left for you. The devil's just going to run over your life. And what would be sad about it is that you don't even know that he's doing it. Going through the motions, living day by day, but don't know that all the while Satan is calling the shots. And we've been delivered out of his hand. We got no business having no dealings with him. We should have, listen here, tell your neighbor, have no dealings with the devil. None. All right, tell them on the other side this time, say, don't give me a place to the devil. Now you got the power to do that. Praise God. If you focus on doing God's will, then you won't have time to sin. We have to be intimately involved with the Holy Spirit, because an intimate relationship with him will lead to an astounding revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, when I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me, to lead me, to guide me, he's going to give me a revelation of Jesus Christ that just blow my mind, that will keep me on fire. Hallelujah, that will keep me passionate about Jesus, that keep me, I mean, just in awe. And I'm still growing in revelation. You know, recently God gave me a revelation about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, that's where we're seated with him. Now, I've been knowing these things, but he showed me another side, that the reality of that is real, that our redemption is a reality in heaven. I mean, it's just as real. It's a done deal. I mean, ain't nobody in heaven wondering, to my Jesus, did you really do it? No, everybody up there already know it's done. So whatever he said about us here on earth in our faith is real there. And if it's real there, then I can have it here. I just got to find out what he did for me and then take it. And the Lord showed me that it's not a problem of us trying to talk him into helping us and talking him into doing things for us. It's a matter of us receiving what's already been done. It's just a matter of us receiving. It's not us pulling on God. Oh, Lord, please, please. The Lord laid the table. Jesus finished everything that needed to be done, provided everything you ever going to need in life. Then he sat down. Now he said, all right, I'll provide everything you need. Now take it. Take all this grace. The Bible said, take all the grace that I've given to you. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will rule and reign in life. So he's already done everything he need to do for us to be victorious, for us to win every conflict, for us to have his wisdom. He's made all his wisdom available to us, all of it. He said, if you lack wisdom, just ask me, but ask in faith, doubting nothing, and it's going to be given to you. There's no reason for you not to have wisdom. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Peace already available. You just got to receive. Even our vision scripture, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. For what reason? Why I want to do all that? That they might receive forgiveness of sins, that they might receive inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith that's in me. He just wants you to receive. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It's all about receiving. When in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached, and all the people repented of their sins and got baptized in water, and then they sent back to Jerusalem and said, hey, everybody that ain't received the word, received Jesus. And Peter and John came down there, and the Bible said, and they prayed for them. They didn't say, oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, we please pray. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. Oh, Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, please give them the Holy Ghost. That ain't what they prayed. You know what they prayed? The Bible said, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God had already gave the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you receiving. If he could ever get us, and that's what he's doing, he's positioning us to receive if we would just listen to him. If we would just listen to him, he's positioning us to a place where he can pour into us all that he wants to do for us. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a big heart for everybody in here. And he want everybody in here to be blessed. He want everybody healed. He want everybody to have more than enough. Right? So he don't want you to be disobedient, because that moves you out of a place of reception. You start receiving from the wrong source. Amen? Now go to John chapter 14. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit, and we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you have supernatural information. You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right.
Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now, because they're getting close to God, that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them, because now they think they're better than you, or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit, that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness, that kind. See, oh, no, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. Not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay. Because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the heart. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. We shall begin our reading. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. And it says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, how interesting it is, because we're talking about sacrificial service for Christ. Sacrificial service for Christ. Say that along with me if you don't mind. Sacrificial service for Christ. Now, this is important because when we understand how this word works today, and though in the story it has its own characters, but of course, the understanding of the story is to help us apply our sacrificial service to the life of Christ and for the life of Christ. And when we get down to the nuts and bolts of our text, it's going to help us to understand that when our hearts are right, when our minds are right, when our thoughts are right, when we desire to do the right thing, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters most is what you're doing and where you're going to. And I think the story beautifully illustrates that, because the Bible is clear in the text. And first thing I want us to notice about the woman in the text, three things. And when we look at this, it's going to help us to put the picture together. First thing I want you to notice about this woman in our text is her position. Her position. And stood at his feet behind him. That's what the text says. And stood at his feet. Listen. Behind him. Now, what's important about that is she stood behind him, not to be seen, but to serve. Now, somebody who wants to be seen will not go behind the one they want to impress, but rather in front of them. And so we notice her position. She went behind him. Well, the second thing I want you to notice about it is her passion. Because the Bible says, weeping, heartfelt gratitude, repentance, and humility was all wrapped up in that weeping. It's important because finally what she desired in her heart, finally the opportunity to get her life right, finally the change that she had been hoping and praying for had finally come. And the interesting thing about it is it came at an unusual time and in an unusual place. Now, one of the things you're going to note about the text is she wasn't an invited guest. Not like Jesus was. But there are some times in your life when you really want your blessing and when you really want what God has for you, that you won't sit around folk that don't want what you want. But when what you want is in the house, then you've got to press your way against odds and against people and against circumstances to get your blessing. And this is exactly what this woman, she was passionate about her blessing. Sometimes you get to the point where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes you get to the point where you can't take another day of this. Sometimes it gets to the point where you've had enough of this and enough is enough. And this is where that woman was. And we'll go back and revisit the text to help put it all back together. And then third thing about this woman, not only was it her passion, but let's look at her pleasure. Her pleasure was to wash, wipe, kiss, and anoint, listen, the feet of Jesus. That was her pleasure. Let me say it again. Her pleasure was to wash, wipe, kiss, and anoint, not the face, the place of honor, but the feet, the lowest place and the most dishonorable part on the body, the feet. And she washed, wiped, kissed, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Now, there are some things, again, that we want us to look at and observe, because Christ was eating at a Pharisee's house, and he was named Simon. Now, this is interesting because Simon is one of the nine Simons in Scripture, and he was known as Simon the Pharisee. Now, Jesus had previously been speaking to a mixed crowd, crowd of Pharisees, scribes, Jews, Gentiles, etc. and he was ministering to them. He was talking to John's disciples, and he gave them a message to bring back to John. And he asked them the question, what did you come out in the wilderness for to see? And he gave them a series of questions, asking them to unfold what their real heart's desire was. And then it said that Jesus came eating and drinking with sinners, and they called him gluttonous. And John the Baptist didn't drink any wine, and they still had aught against him. And so Jesus throws out that wisdom is justified of all her children. And a Pharisee invites Jesus, bids him to come, meaning by a loud, open invitation. It wasn't done privately. That's how the woman heard where Jesus was going to be, because the Pharisee said, hey, Jesus, won't you come on to my house for dinner? Jesus said, all right. And so the woman heard the discourse between Jesus and the Pharisee and knew that he was going to be there. So knowing this, everything in this woman ready for a change, made sure that she got her game plan together and went to the Pharisee house as well. So now Jesus is there. Now, undoubtedly, the Pharisee did not think that Jesus would take him up on it, because he was really being funny. He was really trying to mock Jesus, because again, what Jesus had done previously stood against what the Pharisee, one of the most religious and hypocritical sects there was there to try and put Jesus down. And you'll see that in the text, because Jesus reveals that. But he went there because he was invited. Now, one of the good things I like about the Lord is he's not like you and me. If you invite him, he'll show up. He knew they didn't like him. He knew they didn't really want him there, but they invited him. And see, wherever Jesus goes, he has the tendency to change things. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so he went there with the purpose of changing something there, but giving them an opportunity to have a personal audience with him. I want you to look at the text, because when we look at this word and see it the way that it is, there are some things about it that I think will be helpful. The Bible says again, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, this word sinner here literally means that she was a notable, notorious sinner, known for specific sins. And I mean, I don't have to get too graphic, but I'll just tell you, she was a lady of the night. Yeah, she was a streetwalker. Yeah. So listen, so here it says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, here this woman was, she knew Jesus had been invited. When she knew he was finally there, she went and got her most prized possession, which was ointment put in an alabaster box. Box was a material of the highest kind. It was noted for being able to preserve ointments the best. It was no cheap material. It was a material that, again, best when sealed, kept the ointment the freshest and allowed it to age and become better later than it was when it was first put in there. And so she kept this for her select clientele.